I'm glad I have a microphone here. And I apologize ahead of time for coughing. Started coming down with this yesterday, and it's not a good feeling. So anyway, I hope you'll understand. All right, the Christian movement. And this will be a simple lesson for us. And as we go through our studies, it should occur to us that everything that describes the true Christian involves some sort of movement. And even when we're told to stand fast and stand still, there's still something we have to be doing. See, while working on a lesson about moving on towards perfection that we read about in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, and it struck me just how much we need to move and be active as Christians. Even if you're on the right path or the track, you will get run over if you do not keep moving. And so that's an old adage that's always been true. You can be on the right path, but if you're not moving, you're going to get run over. So the Bible gives us the direction on this movement. So let's look at some of this movement that we need to be involved in. Go. That involves movement. The word implies movement. And so, as opposed to standing still, don't just stand there, go. And Jesus commanded disciples to go preach the gospel, Mark 16, 15, and 16. Go make disciples of all nations. And the early church took this charge seriously. Acts 8, 4, they went about everywhere preaching the word. So if we want to go to heaven, we should also go as Jesus commanded us. That means go to your neighbors, go to your friends, go to your co-workers. Show them the way, show them the light, and guide them. All right, we need to be pressing. The idea of pressing indicates it's not an easy journey. It's something we have to really put an effort into. And so effort needs to be involved, and we are to press onward, as the scripture tells us. We're to press forward, and then we're to press upward. And that we find that there in Philippians 3, 12 through 14, as Paul's talking about it. I know what I've had before, but relying not necessarily rely upon what I've done in the past. I've got to look forward. I've got to press on towards the upward call of our faith in Christ Jesus. So yes, we've got to press on and move forward. We've got to be abounding. And here's a word that sometimes we don't use as much in our everyday language, but good enough is not enough. I mean, we got to do more. We should abound still even more. And the scripture tells us that. 1 Thessalonians 3:12, we should abound, or as some versions say, excel even more. Paul commended the Thessalonians. You've been very faithful. You have been doing those things that we've asked you to do. You've been doing a good job, but you got to do more. I mean, that's what we expect from just about everybody, right? In the workplace, someone's doing a good job, I expect you to do more. That's what a supervisor always wants, to develop his employees so that they produce more, so they get better at what they do. Do better as we go along. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to get better as we go along. We might have the whole Bible memorized, but there's more that we can do. So we must remember that. 1 Thessalonians 4:1, pretty much same thing. He encourages them, excel even more. Do it. Come on. We've all been doing a good job. Some of us have been doing a better job than others. But wherever we are right now, we can improve. That's something we have to realize. If we think, well, I've done it all, I don't have to do anything else, we've got a problem. But we all can improve something. I mean, just ask the question. If my neighbor asked me what I need to do to be saved, could I answer that question? Now, how many of you honestly feel you can answer that question given the book, chapter, and verse? If you're not really sure, then you already know right now there's more I can do. I need to learn more. I need to be ready. So I need to excel even more. We might be the best person we can be, but we can still do better. And we must be trying to do that. 2 Peter 1:8, after he's talking about all the Christian virtues, he said, now if these are yours and abound. And so it's not just, okay, grab these things and that's enough. He didn't say that. These things got to abound. In other words, they got to grow more and more all the time. Yes, we have love. We need to demonstrate love. We show love a lot. But there's always more. We can always do more. We can add to our faith the virtue, the knowledge. We can always use more knowledge, right? Absolutely. Paul prayed to the Colossians there. And he says, I pray you be filled with the knowledge of his will. We need to know what God's will is so that we can be doing those things. So we need to abound and we need to grow. And then, of course, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. In other words, put the work of the Lord as a top priority in your life. All right, putting on. Okay, like we talked, the armor of God. We got to put it on. And of course, that does take movement to put it on. Just like we have to move in order to get dressed. It indicates you know what you're doing and have the necessary training to use the equipment properly. This is what soldiers are taught. They're given weapons, and they're taught how to use them properly, and how to take care of them, how to maintain them. And just like today's army, where they're given certain tools and taught how to use them, they've always been doing that. When someone grows up, they start service in the military. They're taught how to use it. Now, if it's swords, they're taught how to hold the sword, how to wear the sword, and how to use the sword, and how to inflict the most damage with that sword, and how to protect themselves with that sword. They're taught everything there. When we talk about the armor of faith, we learn what it is, but we have to learn how to use it properly. So we know, need to do that. And this indicates a spiritual maturity, because when we do handle it properly, you know, some people, they take the Bible and they don't use it right. They don't handle the word correctly, and therefore they make fools of themselves sometimes, and they certainly don't tell the truth. We need to put on the armor of God because we're fighting a spiritual warfare. And Paul reminds us that all the time. We are fighting a spiritual warfare. And it's something we're dealing with. Our battle is not against the forces of this world or against flesh and blood. Our battle is against the spiritual forces. And we must remember that. Then there's the command to grow. I mean, grow indicates movement, doesn't it? I mean, it might be a slower movement than probably what we want, but when you plant seeds in the ground, what do you want to happen? You want the ground just to stay barren? No. You planted seeds, you expect something, right? Exactly, you do. And so you want them to grow. That's what you expect. You want the growth. And that, not only just growth there, you expect the plant to grow and mature and eventually produce its fruit. Now that makes common sense, right? If you save some seeds from the apple and you plant it and all of a sudden a tree started coming up, your first thought is, when am I going to start getting apples? Well, that's right. You plant an orange seed and here comes a plant. When am I going to start getting oranges? You're looking for that. Either something you can eat or something you can see. Flowers. We want to see the flowers grow. We plant it, and then it grows up, then it produces a flower. We're happy. It's done what we expected it to do. But if something doesn't grow and produce what you expect, what do you get? You get disappointment. See, it's frustrating to see a plant grow and then not produce the desired result. I told you about the first house I lived in that we bought. We moved around apartments, then a trailer house, and then rented a house. Then we bought a house. And my parents brought some fruit trees, some stems from some fruit trees that they had in their yard, plum trees. And so we planted them in the backyard. And I watched them. And the plum trees grew from the little twigs. I mean, they were like 15 feet tall. And they grew rapidly in just a matter of a few years. And then they start producing lots of blossoms after just a few years. And I got all excited. I like plums. But those trees never produced a single plum. 4 years in a row, bloom blossoms all over this tree and no plums. Then we had Tropical Storm Francis came through, blew them down. I didn't shed any tears of grief over them trees because they weren't producing. They weren't giving me what I wanted. Now, God expects us to grow, right? And if we don't produce what God expects from us, is he going to be happy with us? No. He's going to be disappointed. We have to produce for God. And that means produce fruit. And what is the fruit that we have? Our example is what we have. We got to produce and show other people the right way. We've got to be showing people the truth. We've got to be sharing the truth with others. It's what we need to do. So God expects us to grow to maturity. Just becoming baptized and then just doing nothing is not going to accomplish anything. It's like sprouting but not producing. And God plants the seeds everywhere, hoping some will fall on good soil. That's what we see in the parable of the soils, Matthew chapter 13. And so the sower went out to sow seed. He sowed it everywhere. Some fell on the hard ground, some fell on the rocky soil, some fell in the thorny soil, but some fell on good ground, and it produced. See, the result is production. That's what God wants. God wants production from us. Not just, okay, here, put a gold star by my name because I showed up to church today. That's not what God's looking for. He's not looking for someone just to punch in the clock and say, okay, I made it to services today. He wants somebody who will produce. Growth means bigger, stronger, better, more attractive, something, anything really. That's what growth is involved with. In 2 Peter 3:18, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. So yes, growth means getting better all the time. So are you showing results in your Christian growth? It's a question you have to ask yourself. Am I getting better? Am I a better Christian today than I was 1 year ago? Only you can answer that question. Do I have more knowledge of God's word than I had 1 year ago? Only you can answer that question. And have I learned to get the courage to speak to my neighbors about Jesus Christ? Only you can answer that. And of course, one thing that we're supposed to do is perfection. Even that involves a movement of sorts. New Testament use of the word means maturity or completeness without need. Getting to the point where we don't need to be guided along. And so that's what maturity is. And this should be our goal. And so going from immaturity to maturity requires movement. In 2 Corinthians 13:9, he's telling us once again, that's your goal. This is where we need to go. Seeking that perfection, seeking that maturity. This is where we need to be going. Hebrews 6:1, let's press on towards maturity. Press on towards something better. Hebrews 6 talks about the fact that we've got to lay aside all these principles of the first principles and move on to perfection. Move on to maturity. Chapter 5, he talked about, by this time you ought to be teachers. But you've got to be taught again. How many of you are able to be teachers at this time? I mean, you got to ask that question of yourself. Can I teach my neighbor the truth? Can I take my Bible over to my neighbor and show them what the Bible says? Can I recall off the top of my head what the Bible says about certain things? Ahem. it's always talking about movement and growing on to perfection and working to fulfill in our spirit the attitude of moving forward and being strong in the Lord. And so that's that we do in our mind, 2 Corinthians 7:1. Ephesians 4:12 also talks about that. The fact that as we grow towards perfection, verse 11 he says, and he gave some as apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers for the building up of the body of itself in love, to the maturity that is in the fullness of the stature of Christ Jesus. The Holy Spirit helped the early church to grow. Now, the Holy Spirit gave us the instruction manual, how to grow. We have it in the Word of God. Do we use it? Do we apply it? Now, you might think stand fast doesn't belong in a sermon talking about movement. Well, it takes some effort, right? You need to dig in and be ready to repel the opposition. I mean, there's a lot of work involved, right? You know, so a century ago when they had the war over there in Europe, what they do? They got people going there and dug a bunch of trenches out. And they walk through the trenches and then they'd look over the trenches and shoot their rifle or something. So there was a lot of work involved in that. I mean, the enemy didn't dig the trenches for them. We need to dig in. And this statement here applies to our faith. Not necessarily our work. I mean, we gotta do things, that's for sure. But our faith's gotta be strong. It's gotta be stable. Be steadfast and immovable. A lot of people just want to stop right there, right? It appears like in their Christian growth, well, the Bible tells me be steadfast and immovable, so I'm not gonna be moved. But that's not what it's saying, right? Because you read the next phrase, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Okay, we got to be doing that. So it's talking about our faith being strong, not wavering. Our faith needs to be established upon a solid rock or foundation. We know that. And it should not waver. Once we understand what the truth is, we cannot deviate from that. We cannot waver back and forth. We cannot be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine that he talks about in Ephesians 4 and verse 16. Ephesians 4:14. But in order to stand fast, we need to move. As Christians, we need to move. Moving in the right direction. Moving on the right path. That's where we need to be, right? That's what Jesus wants us to do. He wants us to be in the right path and moving in the right direction. The right path is the one he lays out for us. The straight and narrow path that leads to salvation. That's the path that we're supposed to be on and not on that broad path which leads to destruction. We need to be on the right path, moving towards the goal. Now the question is, are you growing spiritually? That's a question we have to ask. Are you? Only you can answer that question. And others can encourage you, but it's up to you to grow and mature. Yeah, we stand here, we teach lessons every week, we have sermons, we have encouragement, we sing songs of edification. But it's up to you if you're going to grow and mature. And if you're one of these that thinks, well, I don't need to learn anymore, or I've learned enough, you've got a problem. God is never satisfied with that attitude. God does not like that attitude. He commands you to grow. And if you have chosen not to grow anymore, what's going to happen? Just like your plant. If they stop producing flowers, how long are you going to put up with that? A lot of you ladies like to plant the flowers in the flower garden. You plant them and you're expecting something within just a short time, aren't you? You absolutely are. You're ready for flowers to show up in your flower bed. and they don't show up. Oh, that's okay. They're still, the plant's still alive. Well, let's get real. Who would tolerate that? Nobody. But yet, here we are. We're plants of God. We're supposed to be flowering out. We're supposed to be producing fruit. And if we're not doing that, are we useful for God? Is He proud of us? Development is necessary to achieve salvation. And we've got to grow. We've got to mature. We've got to do what is necessary. Remember the parable about the landowner came up, saw this fig tree over there, it's not producing. He said, cut it down. The husbandman, the garden keeper, I tell you what, give me time to work with this. Let me dig around it and put some fertilizer around it. Next year, if it produces fruit, you have it. If not, then we'll cut it down. Jesus has given you an opportunity. Jesus is that gardener who says, you know what? This is my child. This is my Christian. I'm going to give them another chance. But it's up to you to produce. It's up to you. Are you growing and improving? That's a question you have to ask yourself. And we know what it takes. We know what is necessary to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, to, you know what those steps are, to do what you need to be doing. But then after you become a Christian, are you producing anything for God? And if you're not, then you need to get busy. You need to do something. That's up to you. We're going to sing an invitation song. If anyone has a need to respond, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.